Once again, today we're going to wrap up this series we've called Ignite. And we're looking for our next series. We're going to begin about 2 weeks from today. Actually, 3 weeks from today. The series we're going to call Forgiveness and the real F word. And we'll begin that in about 3 weeks. And we're really excited about kicking that series off. And I've been praying about it and been praying for what God's going to do here as we go through that series. But today I want us to wrap up Ignite. And during Ignite, we have been talking about how one life has the potential to change the world. How one person who is committed to living out their faith, is committed to sharing their faith with others, can have a radical impact on the world in which we live and the lives that are around us. And today, what I want to talk about is one of the easiest and most meaningful ways in order to share your faith with someone else. And it's through a simple invitation to them to come to church with you. Think about it for a moment. Invitation. We receive invitations almost every day. We invite someone to go with us to a concert, to a ball game. When we're on Facebook, we invite people to be our friends. And we offer invitations. We do invitations all the time. And there are some invitations that are more formal and more serious than other invitations. For instance, I have up here on the screen this morning a wedding invitation. And there's nobody I know. It's just one I found on the internet. But it's very formal. It's a wedding invitation. It's very traditional. It's easy. It's very classy. It's formal. It's nice. Is appropriate for a wedding. And wedding invitations are important. But last week I started doing some looking on the internet and trying to see some different types of invitation. And I came across this one. It's called Top Groom, based off of Top Gun. And it plays off that idea. And they're using this as an invitation, inviting people to come to their wedding. Top Gun's an old movie, but they're using this as a theme for their wedding that is coming up. I'd like to take another one. This one's a little bit more edgy. Someone used for an invitation to their wedding. More of a scary Halloween type theme. Some people might say that's probably inappropriate. Some people may not like it, but others might like that type of invitation. My favorite invitation of all, though, is this one. This one was written by a mother-in-law, and this is pretty bad, okay? This is what she wrote, okay? You're invited to the wedding between my son, the doctor, and some cheap, two-bit tramp whose name escapes me right now. The biggest disaster in my family's history will take place at 9 p.m. on Saturday, September the 8th, and will no doubt end in divorce, hopefully in some time. In time to still be able to get an annulment. The overwhelmingly disappointed heartbreak of the ceremony will be followed by a dinner where nuts will be served because what's-her-face has an allergy. That's probably not very appropriate for a wedding, is it? So that's probably not appropriate. But there's some things that there's some appropriateness and sometimes not, and that's probably not one. But today, I want us to look at some different types of invitation, a different kind of invitation. An invitation where we can offer and it potentially be more life-changing than just a wedding invitation. An invitation that can offer to our families, to our friends, to our co-workers, who come and to check out this life that we have in Jesus Christ and about Christianity for themselves. An invitation for them to come to church with us. So I want us to jump in and look at a very cool story from the New Testament. So find your message notes there in your bulletin this morning. If you'll pull those out with me here this morning. Inside there, it should have Ignite up at the top and has our scriptures. And as you find those notes, I also want you to find, also there's some cards in there that I'm going to bring our attention to later in the book, in the service, but I want you to find those as well and hang on to those. When I want to talk to you about those here in just a few minutes. But as we look at those notes, I want to give you a little context. See, this is a really cool story from the book of John in the New Testament. And here's the context of the story we are about to read. John the Baptist was a great prophet, and he had been telling everyone that a Messiah, the Son of God, was coming, and that God was going to send him into this world, and he was coming very soon. And when Jesus did come and he met John the Baptist, John had a lot of people following him, and John told everyone following him, hey, stop following me. Don't follow me any longer. From now on, you will follow Jesus. He's the one you are to follow. And Andrew was one of John's followers and began to follow Jesus. And this is where the story picks up. So following, if you know, you will. I also have it here up on the screen. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those men who heard that what John said and followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother, Simon, and told him, we found the Messiah, which means Christ. Then Andrew walked with Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. See, this is the same Peter who went on to become one of Jesus' disciples and one of the leaders in the early church. Then it continues. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said, come follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael. See, Nathanael was just a friend of his and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets talked about. His name is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Why did he say that about Nazareth? Well, Nazareth was just a small backwater town in Israel, and it even had a Roman army garrison there. So Jesus did not like to go to Nazareth. Jews did not like to go to Nazareth. It was out of the way, and there was a Roman army garrison there, so they did not want to go there because they did not like the Roman government. So Philip said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And I want you to look at this. Philip doesn't argue with him, but instead he says, come and see for yourself. You might want to underline that line. Come and see for yourself. Philip replied, as they approached Jesus, said, come here. Is a genuine son of Israel, a man of a complete integrity. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under a fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Let's just stop there right now, and you can finish reading the rest of that passage later on your own. But here's what I want you to notice. Peter and Nathanael's lives are changed dramatically because they met and had an encounter with Jesus Christ. In fact, their lives are turned upside down for the good. And here it is, a big but. Peter would never have had this encounter with Jesus had his brother Andrew not loved him enough to invite him to come to Jesus. Nathanael would never have received eternal life that Jesus offered had his friend Philip not cared enough about him to invite him to come with him to see Jesus. And see, that leads us to our Ignite principle for this week. Remember, we've been having a principle each week, and as we've covered it, if you want to flip to the next page, on the second page of your message notes this morning, our principle for this week is, God wants me to invite my friends to come to church with me. Because here's the truth. There is no other way that Peter was going to hear about Jesus if Andrew had not told him. And there was no other way that Nathanael was going to encounter Jesus had his friend Philip not invited him to come along. And I want you to listen to me for a moment. There are people in your life, people that you know, they're never going to experience the life-changing, the life-altering love of God that comes through Jesus Christ unless we share it with them. Unless it comes from us, that we actually tell them about this Jesus. We can literally change someone's life for all eternity simply by inviting them to come and see what Jesus has to tell, what Jesus is all about. I want us to spend the rest of our time here this morning to looking at how your invitation, my invitation, can change the world. There's five of them there if you're looking at your notes, and there's a place for you to fill in. Five things that need to happen. Here's number one. Go ahead and write this down in your notes here this morning. Believe, I have to believe that Jesus can change lives. You see, the reason that Andrew was so quick of bringing his brother, Peter, to see Jesus is because he knew that when Peter met Jesus, his life was going to be changed. And the reason that Philip was so excited about bringing his friend Nathaniel to come to meet Jesus was that he knew that his life was going to be the change. It was going to be different if he could just meet Jesus. As I imagine Andrew, I just picture him in my mind. Jesus comes, says, come and follow me. He starts to go, then all of a sudden he stops. And probably in his mind he has a picture of his brother Peter. And he wants him to know Jesus as well. See, it starts with us. We really have to believe the power of Jesus can change lives. That our friends, that our co-workers, that our family, they really need to have what Jesus offers. They need to have Jesus in their lives. Because the Bible tells us that when someone says yes to Jesus, two things happen. The person receives eternal life. When someone says yes to Jesus, they ask Jesus to come into heart and they turn their lives around and they begin to follow Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus comes into their lives, forgives every sin, and they commit their lives to him forever. And they have eternal life. It's written in stone, and they will spend eternity with God. We don't have to worry about that any longer if you will just accept him. That Jesus has that to offer. In your notes there, you'll see 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. It says, Jesus broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. But we need to understand, Jesus didn't just promise eternal life. He promised to bring purpose, meaning, and fulfillment into our lives in the here and now. And he promised all of us who are carrying weight and burdens on our shoulders, whatever they may be, that he will take the weight away from us. Look at what he says in this other verse, Matthew 11, 28. He says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Look, is there anyone here who will say, I'm in that category? I'm weary. I'm carrying heavy burdens. He said, if you are weary and carry heavy burdens, come to me. Let me read that last part again. It says, I will give you rest. Do you know people who are struggling under the burden of fear, of shame, of regret, of brokenness, of debt, whatever it is? Do you know people who have so much weight on their shoulders and carry such a burden around them that their knees are buckling under, they're just barely able to survive life? You know people in your life, friends, family, co-workers, and classmates that are in that situation. Jesus says, I will take that burden, and I will take that worry from you. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I've shot away from offering an invitation for someone to come to church with me. Because one thing is I thought that this person is such a terrible person, a person that has rejected Christ so much that they would be so hostile to the gospel message, they would not want to even talk about it. And if I did bring it up, it was just going to become this great argument and this he'd be screaming and yelling. And see, I was afraid of what would be said or what they might say to me. And I was also afraid of what they would say if I invite them to come with me. I was so afraid that they might be offended. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe this morning that your friend's life would be better if they knew Jesus? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the coworker that sits next to you at work, do you feel that their life would be better if they had an encounter with Jesus Christ? Do you believe it? Do you believe that person who sits next to you, that girl that you sit next to, maybe in economics class, do you feel like your life would be their life would be better if they knew Jesus? If she had an encounter in her life? Do you believe that your family would be better, if your relatives would be better if they knew Jesus Christ? Do you believe that their lives would be better if they knew Jesus? If you believe that you care just a little bit about them, then you owe to them the very least to offer them the invitation to come with you to see about this Jesus, see about what Christianity is really all about, the invitation to come to church with you. Now, about 3 weeks from now, we're going to have a big weekend, and of course, we've been talking about this last few weeks. That is Easter Sunday, and more people are willing to come with us to church on this day than almost any other day of the year. You know, between this day and maybe Christmas are the two really big days. So we're going to start a new series on that day called Forgiveness, the Real F Word, and it is this message, I believe, is something that people need to hear. This message about forgiveness and the forgiveness that God offers. And it is a perfect week for us to invite our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, our family members to come to church with us. Now, I really believe this. I really believe that during this series, there are going to be some marriages that are on the brink right now that are going to be saved. I believe that there is going to be some friendships that are broken that are going to come back together again. I really believe that there are going to be a lot of people who are a long way from God, a long ways away from God, who are going to come back and get connected with God again. Or they are going to reconnect with God after a long time because they are part of this series. And I really believe lives are going to be transformed by this series. But here's the catch. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter how great the series is, if the people in your lives that are broken and the people who need to hear this message aren't here. And the only person that can invite them is you. You have to do the inviting. So you need to believe that Jesus can change lives. I think the second thing that we need to believe, that not only do we need to believe that Jesus changed lives, but we also need... You need to recognize that he wants to use you to do it. Recognize that Jesus wants to use me. You see, God has you where you are for a reason. Whether it is in your job, your family, you have the friends that you have, and you are living in the city that you're living in for a reason. God wants to use you to influence lives for Jesus. You see, Philip was in Nathanael's life. Andrew was Peter's brother for a reason. God wanted to use them. Now, here's the truth. When you go to work tomorrow, and you may very well be the only follower of Jesus Christ in your workplace. You may go to school tomorrow, and you may very well be the only Christian there in that place. So if you don't invite people, who else is going to invite them? If they know no one else who is a Christian, who else is going to invite them to come find out about Jesus? Who else are they going to invite to come and see what Christianity is all about? Who else is going to do the inviting? See, we may be the only person in someone's life who is a Christian. We may be the only person in your family who is a follower of Jesus. If you are waiting on someone else to tell people in your life about Jesus, if you are waiting for someone else to invite the people you come in contact with about Jesus, maybe to invite them to come to the church, you may be waiting for an invitation that may never, ever happen. Now listen, as a church, we are going to do everything we can to reach out to the people in the city in which we live. This fall, we're going to start a project which we're going to call Mission San Antonio, where we're going to try to show the love of God in practical ways into this community in which we live through servant evangelism. We have a website. We have Facebook pages where we're trying to tell people about what we're doing right here in San Antonio. And we're trying to do everything we can with every avenue we have to tell them about what we're doing here. But here's the truth. The number one way, the number one reason that people come to church is because their friends, their family, and their coworkers invite them to come with them. We can send out all types of invitations. We can do all types of advertising. But the one that's going to be the most effective, the one that gets more people to come than any other way, is when we invite them to come with us. In fact, Jesus' last words to his disciples, we see here in Matthew chapter 28, which is our memory verse for this week. That was the great commission that he gave to all who were following him. And it says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So, number one, we need to believe that Jesus can change lives. Number two, we need to recognize that Jesus wants to use us, and he wants to use me. And number three, write this down. Identify people in my sphere of influence to invite. Now, this is where I want you to really engage you this morning in your notes. I really want you to be thinking and maybe talking to God during this point, because what I'm talking about is prayerfully identifying people in your life who God might want me to invite with me to come to our Easter service in 3 weeks. Remember last week I challenged you to think of five people and start praying about those five people and getting those five people in your mind? I want you to pray about the invitations that you're going to give. I want you to think about the people in your life who are not yet followers of Jesus, who don't go to church anywhere. I want you to ask God what he wants you to do in those situations. Because think about this. God has intentionally put those people in your life. Those people that you know, God has intentionally placed those people in your life. He put them there in your life intentionally. He wants you to be an influence on their life. Look at our next verse, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It's there in your notes. It says, "Live wisely among those who are not yet Christians, making the most of every opportunity." So let's think about this together. God wants us to make the most of every opportunity we have with the people who are in our lives who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ. So what I want you to do, I want you to look in your notes here this morning. It's easy. It's there with that big bullseye there in your notes. It has a bunch of circles there with squares. And these are for the different spheres of influence in your life. Beginning with the smallest circle, those who are the people that who are absolutely the closest to you, and then working out the people who are less and less intentionally. There are four different spheres I want us to look at. So, in the box, we're going to write down what these different spheres of influence are in our lives. So you'll just write those in as we go along. Then, as I give you those different spheres, I want you to start thinking about your life. I want you to start thinking about specific people that are in each of those spheres of your life who are not followers of Jesus Christ, who don't go to church anywhere, who really need God in their lives. As we write these spheres down, I want you to write the names in your blanks below the circles. You may want to write their names, their first names. You might just want to write their initials. Nobody's ever going to see your notes. It's just between you and God. And I just want you, the bottom part of those notes is a place for you to actually write some names that maybe come to your mind here this morning as we talk. But as I go through it, I want you to engage this and really seriously think about it and think about people who don't know God. I want us to look at our first fear. The first fear we're going to look at here this morning is family. See, those are the closest to you, and those are your family. See, Andrew, this was what Andrew and Peter were. Andrew, when he first followed Jesus, the first person that popped his mind was his brother, Peter. And when he got Peter, he said, come and see Jesus. You really got to meet him. Who are the family members in your life? The family that don't know Jesus, who are disconnected from God. It could be a spouse. It could be a parent. It could be a child. It could be a cousin, an aunt, an uncle. I don't know. Who are the people in your life who you could invite to come to church with you in the next few weeks whose lives would be better if they had an encounter with Jesus Christ? See, that's the first sphere of influence I want us to look at this morning. As you think of those names, as you think of that person, write down those names there in those blocks, on those lines there at the bottom of your notes. The second sphere of influence is friends. See, is the category that Philip and Nathaniel were in here in our text this morning. Philip chose to follow Jesus. As he began to follow Jesus, the first person that popped in his mind was his friend Nathaniel. He went and got his friend Nathaniel, and Nathaniel didn't want to come. Philip said, you've got to come and see for yourself. I can't argue about this. Just come and see what he's like. And Nathaniel did, and it changed his life forever. Who are the friends in your life? Who are the people that you hung out maybe this weekend? The people you were in trouble, that if you were in trouble and you needed someone right then, who is that person you would call? People you did something with maybe last week, maybe during the week. Friends that are in your life who are not yet followers of Jesus. You care about them. If you knew that they needed something, you would give it to them. And you know people in your life who would need to have an encounter with God. Who are those friends? Write those names down there, and maybe just their initials in those blanks. And look, I hope that you go through these fears and you really seriously think about these people in our lives and who could benefit from having an invitation to come know more about Jesus. The third sphere of influence I want us to look at is co-workers and classmates. Whether you have a job or you're in school, you may be thinking right now, maybe you're retired, maybe you can think of some people you worked with in the past. And maybe you're saying this morning, I'm in a job I absolutely hate. I don't even like any of my coworkers. Or you may be thinking, I'm in a class and I can't stand the class and I can't really stand the people that may be in my class. And the question should be, why does God have you right there, right now? Why are you there? Did you ever think that God has you where you are and you're surrounded by people who don't know him? And he wants you to influence them by your life. So think about it. Who are the coworkers that don't know God? Maybe they're the most sour person in the entire office. Or it might be the meanest person in your class. If they had an encounter with God, if it could radically transform their life, who are the people you work with and you are on teams with that maybe they're not really as close as your closest friends, but they're co-workers and classmates? Maybe write some of those names down there on your list. And the last sphere I want us to look at is neighbors and others. There may be people who live in your apartment building, your neighborhoods, that live close to you. They could be people that you maybe see at the gym, or you may see where you buy coffee, or you might get breakfast every morning. The same people are there day after day, and you see them. You have somewhat of a relationship with them. If you have a mom, if you're a mom and you take your kids to a playgroup or to their friend's house, and maybe you meet other parents that maybe don't know Christ, you may not classify them as friend, but you would classify them as someone we have something in common with. Who are people that you know in this sphere of influence? You could just extend a simple invite. Say, hey, come and check it out. We're we're having an Easter service. Won't you come and join me? Come and see what it's like. See what Jesus is like. What Christianity is all about. So believe that Jesus can change lives. We need to also understand that he wants us to do that. And then he wants us to, we need to identify some people that we could influence. And then let us also remember, number four, care enough to extend an invitation to church. It's on the back of your notes if you want to fill it in. Care enough to extend an invitation to them to come to church with you. You know, if you really believe that Jesus can change lives, if you really believe that Jesus is the way to eternal life and real life in him in the here and now, and you identify people in your life who need him, who need an encounter with him, then you need to do is just care enough about them, even just a little bit, to be able to share an invitation with them. At the very least, you can give to them an offer of an invitation. Inside your bulletins this morning, there is some cards. It's a little invite card. If you'll pull those out, I didn't bring any up here with me, but there are three little cards. And if you take those and fold those in half, and the front of it should say, you're invited. Inside is an invitation that you can use to invite people to come with you to our services here on Easter Sunday. And, you know, it'd be simple. You may come somewhere. Maybe you don't know them as well as some of the others, and maybe just have them a card. We're having Easter services. Here's the time. And give them one of those cards and invite them. I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to invite. You can use that as a tool to invite someone to those services. See, we have to care enough about them to give the invitation. That's what Philip did with his friend Nathaniel. He told Nathaniel, come and see for yourself. Come and see what Jesus is all about. You shouldn't just invite your friends, your family, and your coworkers for the benefit that you are going to receive. You should do it for the blessing and the scriptural growth that you're going to experience as well. And that's our last point here this morning. Number five, experience God's blessing in my own life. Now, why does God make such a big deal about sharing our faith, about us helping people get connected to him? Why is that so important? I think it's important because if you think about it, after we die and we are in heaven, there is really only two things we can't do in heaven. And heaven is a beautiful place. We will be able to dance, sing, we'll be able to play, we will be able to do everything that brings us joy in heaven, but there are two things that we cannot do. Number one, we cannot sin. The Bible says there won't be sin in heaven. It will be a perfect place. There will be no pain. There won't be hurt. There won't be fear. There won't be anger. There won't be regret. There won't be shame. It will be a perfect place. So we won't be able to sin. But the second thing we won't be able to do in heaven is this. We won't be able to tell our friends and the people we care about Jesus. It will be too late. It will be too late to invite them to come and see for themselves the difference that Jesus can make in their lives. There will be regret with that, but the people that we like and we love and care about and we want them to be connected to God, but we waited too long. We didn't get a chance to give the invitation. See, that's why it's such a big deal that we help others get connected to God and invite them to church, and that's why he blesses those who do. Look at our last verse for this morning, Matthew 25:23. This is what Jesus said, and this is the blessing we will receive when we step out and live out our faith and invite others to come. This is what it says. It says, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Let's pray together. As we bow our heads here this morning, I just want you to concentrate this morning on God. right now. Just push everything else out of your mind. Don't worry about anybody around you. Nobody's looking. I just want you to take some time and connect to God. Maybe as we start this prayer, maybe God is bringing to your mind the faces of family members, of friends, of co-workers, classmates, maybe neighbors, people that God is bringing faces to your mind, the people that you know that don't know God. And maybe you need to think about them as we pray here this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. He came to the earth and he died on the cross so that my sins might be forgiven, so that I could have eternal life, that I could have the life full of meaning and purpose, and so that he could take some of those burdens that I have, that I've been carrying around in my life. God, I thank you so much this morning for Jesus. God, I thank you also for putting people in our lives that don't know you. God, I know you want to use us. God, I pray that this week you give us the opportunity and you give us the courage to step out and invite our friends to come to church with us. Father, I pray that we have the courage to say to our friends and to our family and to our coworkers, hey, why don't you come and see for yourself what this Jesus is all about. Father, we pray for those names and those faces that have popped into our minds this morning. Father, that they will be open to the invitations that we're going to give this next 3 weeks. Father, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, my friends, this morning I'm going to offer the invitation. Maybe there's some here this morning that needs to accept Jesus as the Lord and their Savior. Maybe there's others here that need to just reconnect. They need to recommit themselves to Jesus Christ. Maybe that is the decision you need to make this morning. My friends, we talked about over this series that we don't know when our time will be up. We don't know how much more time we have. And then I don't want us to leave this room this morning that there's some decision that needs to be made today. We're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If this morning there's something on your heart, something that needs to be changed, whatever it is, let's make it as we offer this time of decision now.